And in other news, Filip Hergovic will fight Dempsey McKean on the Joshua White 2 undercard. Now, Hergovic is the IBF mandatory, so he could just sit on his ass for the next 6 months or whatever and wait for his shot against Usyk. But he's decided to stay busy. He's fighting McKean, who's an unbeaten Australian southpaw. In fact, let me just double check. Is he Australian or is he from New Zealand? He's Australian. Just look now. 6'6", so same height as Filip Hergovic. But as I say, he's a southpaw. And I'm assuming that's the intention of Hergovic fighting Dempsey McKean, is getting somebody to somewhat try and prepare him a little bit for Alexander Usyk. But obviously there's worlds of difference between Dempsey McKean and Alexander Usyk, just in terms of size alone, never mind all the skill. Now again, McKean is unbeaten. He's 22-0 with 14 KOs. I've watched a couple of his fights. He doesn't seem anything special, but sometimes fighters can surprise you. His best win was probably the one he had over Jonathan Rice. Jonathan Rice is kind of a pretty useful fringe contender, if I could describe him as that. Some people might even go as far as saying he's a journeyman, but you know, he's in that kind of area. He's a guy who, when he's switched on, Jonathan Rice, he can be dangerous. He was the one who took the unbeaten record originally of Michael Coffey, the guy that Fabio Wardley just beat a few months ago. So that's probably Dempsey McKean's best win, was over Jonathan Rice. His last fight was against a guy called Patrick Corte. Can't say I've ever heard of him, but he was 18-1-1 going in. So yeah, McKean hasn't fought great opposition at all, other than the Jonathan Rice fight. He did beat Tai Tuivasa. Is that the same as the other Tuivasa, or is, God, there are so many Tuivasas, you know, in that part of the world, in New Zealand and Australia. I don't know who's who. So yeah, McKean, this is a huge step up for him. He says that his record is decent, but I'm not sure about that. Massive step up against Filip Hergovic. Hergovic didn't have to take this fight. He could have fought a bum. He could have fought a road sweeper. He could have fought a journeyman. As a mandatory challenger, you have had to fight someone for that position. Obviously, Hergovic fought Zheli Zhang. Went life and death with Zheli Zhang. That was a really tough fight. So he had to go through that. He had to secure that win in order to become mandatory. And so once someone's in that position, it's difficult to get a title shot otherwise. If you're a dangerous heavyweight or dangerous fighter in any division, it's difficult to get a shot if you're dangerous against one of the champions in a voluntary. Yeah, you're going to have to force a shot by becoming mandatory. And once you become mandatory, it's understandable. You don't want to jeopardize your position, because if you do jeopardize your position, you go all the way back, way to the back of the queue, and you might have to wait, what, a year or more to get an opportunity to fight in an eliminator to become mandatory again, and then wait even longer after that to get your mandatory shot. You see, so I cannot blame any mandatory challenger for just sitting down, waiting, and not taking any risks before they get their shot. Can't blame them at all, because again, it takes a very long time for most fighters to actually get a shot in the first place. So yeah, no issue if you sit on the sidelines. If you decide to get out and be active, great. If you decide to get out and be active and fight unbeaten heavyweights, even better. And if you decide to get out and be active and fight unbeaten, proven dangerous heavyweights, better still. But that's a bonus. I don't expect that of most mandatory challengers. They've already had to fight someone decent in most cases to become mandatory in the first place. So it is what it is. Filip Hergovic fights Dempsey McKean. I think it's an okay fight. Maybe McKean can surprise us. I'm definitely expecting Filip Hergovic to win. But it still isn't enough for me to want to purchase Anthony Joshua Dillon White 2 on pay-per-view. Putting Hergovic versus McKean on the undercard, nah. I'll be watching it at a sports bar anyway, but I'm just saying, if I was in a position where I was going to watch the fight, you know, and pay for it or whatever, or watch the fight at home, let's say, I'd watch it on a stream. I wouldn't pay for that particular show. That's just me. So anyway, yeah, Filip Hergovic, 15-0. And how many KOs? Yeah, 15-0, 12 KOs for Hergovic, 31 years of age, 6'6", from Zagreb, Croatia. taking on Dempsey McKean, who's 22-0, 14 KOs, 32 years of age, from Australia. Doesn't say, oh, hang on, residence. Oh, yeah, he lives in the UK at the moment, to be fair, yeah. But his birthplace is Ipswich, Queensland, Australia, all right? Let's move on to a little bit more news. Gervonta Davis has been released from prison. He only spent 44 days behind the wall. Not surprising. In fact, it was more surprising that he spent any time. I think originally he wasn't going to go jail, but he violated the terms of his sentence. And that's why they put him in prison, because he was going to serve all of it outside of prison. He violated the terms, but either way, he went inside and only did 44 days. He's out again. So he's a happy man. You got Andy Cruz making his debut. Let's see. I mean, Eddie Hearn's screaming his name from the rooftops, and he was obviously an elite amateur. But he didn't look like much of a puncher from what I saw. And Cubans generally don't tend to draw a lot of fanfare when they turn professional and they start fighting in championship fights. It's not often that Cubans will get a load of support and what have you. There isn't a big Cuban community in the United States. I mean, there are Cubans there, particularly in places like Florida. But when you compare the Cuban community in size to the Mexican community, it's not even close, right? Even the Cuban community in America to Puerto Ricans, there's way more Puerto Ricans, as far as I'm aware, at least. So anyway, more news. Let's have a look here. Tommy Fury KSI, that's a fight that's apparently been negotiated behind the scenes. I like that fight. Yeah, I like Tommy Fury versus KSI. At the end of the day, Tommy Fury is a novice. He didn't have a load of amateur fights. I wouldn't expect him to be going in there fighting Ben Whitaker. Do you know what I mean? It's just not realistic. He's a guy only had about, I think, 10 amateur fights at a relatively low level, turned pro. At this stage of Tommy Fury's career, if he wasn't fighting YouTubers, he'd only be fighting journeymen anyway with such little amateur experience, right? He'd only be fighting journeymen, and most journeymen don't even come to win. Yeah? Whereas when he's fighting these YouTubers, they're young guys, and even though they don't have the technical know-how, they're coming to win. Jake Paul came to give it a go and tried to win. KSI, I'm sure, will do the same. He's going to try and win, and he's got energy and youth, and he can punch, even though he's technically, you know, not that great at all. But he's going to try and win, right? So I've got no issue with Tommy Fury going down this road, given where he's at, given the lack of experience. No issue at all. I think it's smart, actually, because not only is he getting in there against, okay, technically limited fighters, but they're coming to win, he's also getting experience in front of big crowds, having to deal with some type of pressure, you know? And he's building his fan base along with it. So I actually think it's a really, really good move by Team Fury, taking Tommy Fury this route. And after he's cleaned up and beaten the YouTubers, because I expect him to beat KSI. KSI does have a puncher's chance, but I expect Tommy Fury to come through. And after that, then they can start progressing, maybe have him headlining his own shows. I don't know. But start progressing and, you know, moving him up. I'm not sure if he's going to be campaigning at cruiserweight or light heavyweight when he resumes his normal boxing career, quote unquote. I don't know. We'll see. Let me know what you guys think about it in the comments below. Tommy Fury versus KSI. I hope the fight happens. I'd be interested to watch it, actually. Two novices, one of them with better technique in Tommy Fury, but again, two novices. Let's have a look at some other news here. Devin Haney arrested on a gun charge. Yeah, I read a bit about that. And, you know, it's America, man. People carry guns. And you just have to be careful when you're carrying your gun in a different state to your home state, because you're going to need to abide by the rules of that state. You're going to need to have the necessary paperwork and all that kind of thing. If you don't, you can find yourself in hot water. I mean, Deontay Wilder got caught with a gun not too long ago, right? In, I think it was in California as well. The same state, that Devin Haney got arrested on a gun charge. And I was watching Dwyer's video about it. Dwyer was quite passionate, saying that what happened to Haney was wrong. And there's a lot of profiling that goes on, and black people get pulled over in Beverly Hills and Hollywood and stuff like that because police think, just assume they're up to no good. Yeah, maybe Devin Haney was a victim of something like that. According to Dwyer, it wasn't even Devin Haney's gun, and they got pulled over for not using a signal before they turned. I mean, everybody does that, right? Maybe not everybody, but it's common. And Dwyer lived in, well, he still lives in California, but he lived in LA. And he said he was pulled over numerous times. Bear in mind, Dwyer is a lawyer. Right? This is a middle-aged guy of Jamaican descent. I think he was actually born in Jamaica, Dwyer. But grew up in the United States. He's got an American accent. You can hear a little bit of his Jamaican accent from time to time, Dwyer. But yeah, he lived in Los Angeles and he was pulled over on numerous occasions. And that's a professional, a lawyer. And according to him, for spurious reasons, right? So of course, there's profiling that goes on. But at the same time, there's a lot of black gangs in LA. Do you know what I mean? And there is black people who will go up in some of these nicer neighborhoods and do crimes. So as much as you're mad at the police, you should also be mad at these guys in the streets, these gangsters, because they're making your race look bad. Do you know what I mean? That's the way I've seen it anyway. If I'm in a neighborhood where black people have been causing trouble in that neighborhood from time to time, or maybe in a country where black people cause a lot of trouble, and I get pulled over, it's not nice. I don't like it, but I understand it to some extent, you know? So anyway, let's not get too racial and political here. Devin Haney, I'm sure he'll be okay. Actually, let me rewind and pull that back. I think he'll be okay. But Haney doesn't have a promoter, because I'm always amazed when some of these fighters catch charges. It might actually be like proper charges for assault and stuff like that. And they don't go prison. The only one of those Al Haymon guys that I remember going to prison was actually Mayweather, funny enough. And he's their highest earning fighter ever, right? And he actually went to prison for that thing with his baby mom. But normally those PBC Al Haymon guys, they catch charges and they don't go prison. They got great lawyers. Maybe they got great connections. You know, sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. Al Haymon, I think, has a lot of those kind of connections. So, yeah, that's that. Let's have a look at some other boxing news here. Oh, and to finish the point, I forgot to finish the point. If Devin Haney doesn't have a promoter, will he have the same connections? So moving on. Let's have a look at what my boxing scene feed is saying. Plenty of criticism of Fury. And let's keep piling it on until he fights Usyk. That's the only way to make him do it. That's the only way of there being any hope of him doing it. Jermaine Franklin is fighting. Is it this weekend he's fighting? Let's have a look here. I know he's fighting soon. Just reading here. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Franklin is, yeah, he is fighting on, well, oh, tonight. Is it tonight? In Detroit at the Masonic Temple? Okay. So he's fighting some Mexican. And Franklin says this is his last fight with Dimitri Salita. And he'll be happy to get from up under Dimitri Salita because he obviously sued him going into the Anthony Joshua fight. And I saw Eddie Hearn asked in one of his recent interviews whether he would sign Jermaine Franklin. And he said, yeah, if Franklin wins. So all to play for Jermaine Franklin, right? He's trying to get that contract with Eddie Hearn, which is surely going to be better than the contract he was coming out of with Dimitri Salita. One would assume anyway. And he's got a manager on side now. The manager is the one who I think recommended that he sued Salita because the stuff that was happening wasn't to the manager or Jermaine Franklin's liking. So yeah, let's see if he can get... I scrolled down there. I'm looking at boxing scene. It says here, Franklin is also better than Fury's next opponent. Facts. That's facts. That's facts. What else we got here? Blah, 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 blah. All right, not much else at the moment to talk about. When there is, I'll jump back on here and give you some more updates on the boxing news. And I definitely want to do more live commentaries like I did with the Boots Ennis fight. And with, no, didn't do it with the Boots Ennis fight, did I? No, with the, excuse me, Jared Anderson fight. yeah, I enjoyed doing that. So I'll definitely try and do more of those. Until the next one, take it easy, peeps.